There we go.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Let me turn my phone down.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God.
All right. Caller, 7652.
It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
And welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Kingdom of God Ministries. We have an anointed guest on tonight, Pastor Williams. He's going to be talking about his book, No More Mega Mess, But Mega Blessings. Amen. Now, Pastor Williams, he's the pastor of D.M. Williams International Ministries. Now, God has placed a timely message on his heart for the purpose of the church and individuals. He ministers at many churches revealing the true purpose of the church and God's plan for the kingdom in these end times. Now, Pastor Williams has a passion for joining together with local and international ministries to renew and empower people to work together to fulfill God's plan. Pastor Williams, are you there? Pastor Williams? Pastor Williams? All right, look like we're having some technical difficulty here. All right. Pastor Williams? Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. We come against any hindering spirits right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All right. Pastor Williams, you hearing? Praise the Lord. All right, Pastor Williams?
Hey, I'm here.
All right, some strange things is going on. But nevertheless, we've, have you heard anything that I've said?
Yes, I have. You just couldn't hear me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right then. As long as you all heard me, that's fine. So I'm going to give it over to you. You can go ahead and open up with prayer, and then we'll go from there.
All right, amen. We thank you, Lord God, right now for all that you've done. We rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name. Right now, Father God, you cover this time that we have, Father God, that you are used, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning, Father. Thank you for loving us, Lord God. Thank you for guiding us, Father God. We worship you right now. We give you all the honor, glory, and praise, Father God. We are your servants, Father. Tonight I ask, Lord God, that we decrease and you increase in us, Father God, that the ones that are listening, Father, are blessed by our message tonight, Father God. We thank you and we give you all the honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, I'm listening.
I just thank God for being here tonight. I want to thank you, sir, for allowing me to be on your radio. And I just give glory to God for us being here. We rebuke the devil for trying to come against this technology. It's not going to work, so he needs to stop right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But we are excited. I'm excited to be here. But, Pastor Montgomery, I just wanted to share tonight about something very important that God has pressed on my heart for this season for the church. He's given me a very hard mandate that he's calling the church to come together. He's calling for the church to unite in this time. And he's giving a prophetic call to the church because he wants them to basically unite together to fulfill his purpose. He's tired of the mess in the church. He's tired of us living and doing things on our own and living in flesh and operating in flesh in the church and doing things in our own agenda and not allowing God to be the head of his house again. He's ready to manifest his kingdom here on earth, but he cannot do that without the church. He cannot do that without us being obedient to him. I'm going to share a dream shortly here, but God has really been pressing on my heart. He's saying, I want my church to unite. I need my church to be obedient. And as you see, and as the days have hit, there's dark days that are about to come and hit this world. But God is saying to his saints, do not fear. I am ready. He wants to use us. Do not fear. He keeps telling me in my spirit, do not fear. He said he's trying to call the saints, but we have to listen. If we don't listen, we could miss it. The things that are coming in this world that seem to that's going to attack this world won't attack us. But he's trying to get us ready right now as the church to unite as one so he can use us in this end time to win souls and fulfill his kingdom here on earth. So it's very important in this critical hour of our obedience.
Amen.
But I would like to share a dream real quick, a prophetic dream that God gave me a while ago, and it is very present to this time. Basically, in the dream, I was standing upon a hill. I was looking over the hill, and the winds changed. It was like a city below. And the winds were changing as a bad storm was coming. It was a really, really bad storm. And the winds kept changing. And as I looked over, I saw all of these churches in the city. They were the only things that were really pointing out to me was all of these churches. It was hundreds of them. Mm. And as I looked at the churches, I heard an electrical sound.
Yeah.
And all I knew when I heard that sound is that these churches were being struck with lightning. You heard a boom, and then all of a sudden these churches were on fire.
Wow.
Now, they were on fire at different times. Some of the churches that burned, after the burning stopped, they were standing even stronger. And then some, after they were burning, they fell to the ground and were in ashes.
Wow.
And as the dream went on, I was beginning to warn family. I looked in the sky. I saw all these black birds. I saw these black and grayscale animals fleeing from what God was doing. And basically that whole, the fire was spiritual. But towards the end of the dream, I began to go warn my family. Then the dream ended. Now, God showed me two things of this dream. Number one, he's warning the church. He is warning the church. Judgment first comes to the church, as 1 Peter 4:17 says, because why he's ready to use us. He needs to use us in this end time. And in the beginning of that dream, God showed me that judgment is coming to the church. The fire of those churches are spiritual. God is about to give a spiritual test to the kingdom of God and to raise the standard to be obedient to him. If we're not going to live in righteousness, if we're not going to be obedient to what he wants us to do, we'll perish. But if we're obedient during this time, if we repent of our sins and come together as one kingdom, and raise the bar to what he wants us to do, we'll prosper. Why? Because it's not going to be about us, about his agenda. It's not going to be about what we want, but about what God wants. So we have to shift our focus and our mindset from being self-sufficient to God-efficient, to giving everything to him that he wants us to do. So it's very important. Another thing that God showed me as far as the black birds and the grayscale animals, those are demons. What God is about to do is not only cleanse the church, but he's also about to send judgment to the world. Not because he hates us or the world, but because he loves us. He wants to get our attention to turn back to him and away from our wicked ways, away from our fleshly desires, and go to him. And those demons that's been controlling the church, those demons that have been controlling avenues of the world, will be fleeing because the power of God will be resting upon his house and because the power of God will be resting upon this world. The devil is angry. The devil is mad. He's ready to try to destroy us, but he has no power because it was already lost. But we have to stand together as the kingdom of God and come together to do what God wants us to do. And it first starts with us. It first starts with us falling on our face and allowing God to be the head of our life again and not trying to take our life into our own hands, but give it to God and let him use us powerfully. It starts with the individual. And once we understand that, then we can move on to our purpose of who we're called to do. But many people, what surprises me, Pastor Montgomery, is they keep saying, my pastor tells me who I'm called to be. I've heard this multiple times. My pastor told me I was called to do this. My pastor told me I was called to do this. Your pastor can't tell you who you're called to be. They might get a spiritual discernment from God to see certain things, but it's to you to go to the Creator. Only the Creator knows why the tool was made. You can't go to the person who's trying to use the tool and they tell you. No, you have to go to the Creator, because the Creator is the only one that can tell you this is what you're made for, this is what you're called to do, and only can prepare you to do it. So we need to stop going to man to look for who we are and go to God to see who we are. We can't do this through anybody else. We have to have a personal relationship with God, and in our prayer time, in our worship time, we have to go into the Lord and pray to him and build a relationship, and he tells us who we are. He tells us what we're called to do. And in a relationship with him, we'll understand what we're called to do in these end times. Like I can continue to say, God showed me in a lot of prophetic dreams recently, there's dark days ahead. There's a lot of things, especially in America, that are about to happen to get the attention of this world to get the attention of a fallen nation that fell away from the Lord. He's ready to use us as the church, y'all. And we're going to get, me and Pastor McGregor, we're going to discuss it. But we're going to get more into the book. But I just wanted to say this real quick because it's very key of why God even led me to write the book. It's called titled No More Mega Mess, But Mega Blessings. It's because, simply for the fact of this, God is tired of the mess. But if we're obedient to his will, if we're obedient to this call to repent of our ways as the church and as the individual, to do what God wants us to do, we'll see mega blessings in this kingdom. We'll see mega blessings in this world because God is ready to rule and reign in a physical kingdom on this earth. Many people talk about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. God is ready to make that kingdom physical. He's ready
Amen.
To rule this world, but we have to be obedient.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Now, see, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Now, what you just said and what you just saw is exactly what God is doing. That's
yes.
what he's doing. He just showed it to you before he's done it. But see, the thing about that, all that you said, we have to be consecrated.
Yes.
We have to be sanctified. We have to be Holy Ghost filled, and we have to have faith. I was just reading something in Hebrews 10 and talking about the believer's access to God, and it's talking about some of the same things you were talking about. In order for God to do anything through us, we have to be consecrated and sanctified to him. Now, to sanctify something means to set it apart. People have
yeah.
to be set apart or set aside strictly for God so that God can use them. Now, in order for God to use or flow through any of us, we have to be uninhibited. In other words, we can't be stopped up with things of the world. We are a conduit. Now, if
yeah.
you're familiar with electrical terms, a conduit is a pipe that the wires go through. If that
yeah.
conduit is plugged up, the wires can't go through there. So if we are plugged up and stopped up with all of our self,
Say
sin,
it.
Worldliness, and all this stuff like of that nature, then the Spirit of God, he can't flow through us the way he wants to. And when
yes.
he can't flow through us, then we won't have the miracles, we won't have
yes.
the signs, we won't have the wonders. What we'll have is what your book says, a big mess.
Yes.
That's what we'll have. A natural explosion or a carnal explosion. That's what you
yes.
have. So,
yes.
You know, you're gonna, there's some stuff gonna is going to blow up and it's not going to. Explosions don't do anything good, they destroy
yes.
a lot of stuff. You
they
know,
do.
But when you
and
start.
That-
Yeah, I'm listening.
No, go ahead. No, I'm just saying that's why we've seen lately a lot of
mm-hmm.
things of the church being exposed is
yeah.
because we haven't been obedient to what God is wanting us to do. And
right.
God allows the church to be exposed. He's given
mm-hmm.
us behind the scenes mercy upon mercy upon mercy. He's been telling us to get it right. And
yeah.
when we don't do that, he has to expose us, not because he hates us. Remember, he does everything
mm-hmm.
in love. Although it
That's
feels
right.
hard at the time when he does it, he's doing it for a reason because he wants us to be obedient. But God has been exposing things in the church and allowing certain churches to be public simply
yeah.
for the fact is now he's not trying to make us skeptical of them. He's trying to say,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to show you to get in order. But if you won't,
That's right.
I'll have to move on. And if we won't get in order, we'll be the perishing church.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, it's something that you said that and when you were going forth earlier, the Lord brought me to Hebrews 10 and 19, and this is in 19th verse says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance
yes.
of the faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us
yes.
consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin, so listen, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking, for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. Say, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Yes.
We're living in the end times, and that kind of brought out where we need to be.
Yes,
we, especially now, we really need to be as close to God as we can possibly be. Now, we haven't ascended into spirit yet, so we're still going to have some temptations. We're still going to make some mistakes. We're still going to err, but we shouldn't have the mindset to want to.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
We shouldn't have the mindset to try to manipulate people. We shouldn't try to have the mindset to try to get over on people. We shouldn't have the mindset to try to use the word of God to get what we want on this earth. That shouldn't be our mindset.
That shouldn't
if that
all.
Is our mindset, we need to check ourselves.
Exactly.
We need to fall on our face.
Hello? Can you hear me? Hello?
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 Hello? Hello?
Hey. Hello? Brother Montgomery?
Hello?
Hello?
Did everybody fall off? Hi.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hey, we all can hear each other.
Okay, so you all can hear me, but I think Pastor Montgomery dropped out.
Oh, I can hear you. I don't know if you can hear me. And it's some more people on the line, too, saying hello. I don't know if you can
hear me. Well, hello, everybody. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Good, good, good. We're going to see what happened to Pastor Montgomery here. Hold on real quick. Well, yes, everybody, we're going to take a brief intermission. We're waiting for Pastor Montgomery to come on the line. He should be on here shortly, and then we'll continue.
Yeah, I don't. Well, we just got.
Hey, you're online now. Hello?
Okay, all right.
Hey, okay, sir.
All right. I don't know what's going on. The enemy ain't going to get no. He's not getting the victory. That's just it.
That's it. We're going to, as saints who's listening, I ask that you pray right now in Jesus' name. We rebuke the devil, and he cannot In Jesus' name, he has no power over this station because he don't want us to go forth. He don't want us to minister what we're ministering on because it's affecting his kingdom. But right now, he needs to go back to the pits of hell where he came from. The
amen.
Blood of Jesus covers his broadcast in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. you can go
forth.
You'll
try, but it ain't going to work.
It's not going to work. That's why we have the time that we have. But no, God is good. But see, things like this is, I mean, we have to get ready to battle and to fight and to war. And the thing about warfare and the thing about any kind of battle or fighting, Okay, hold on. You're hearing me, right?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
What? We're still having some technical difficulties because I can hear you, you can hear me, but the listening audience can't hear.
Oh.
Okay, so you can hear? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We all can hear you. We heard everything.
Praise God. Well, I'm glad you spoke up because I was about to start punching some buttons.
Did you all call in?
Everybody's calling in, but they have their phones on mute. They're not saying anything. I think that's what it is. But everybody's praying because we know the enemy doesn't have power, like you all said. We're touching and agreeing.
Okay.
I can't hear you. They're right. I'm online. I can't hear the main one going.
You can hear me, though.
Yeah, I can hear you, but on the website it's not playing.
Okay. All right. Well, as long as everything is going through the Blog Talk program, I believe it'll be good because this is you may be able to pull that up later, but it might be something on your end or on the other end that's happening. We got to make sure that this goes through, and so far it's going through because I don't want to start punching any buttons and disconnecting anybody.
Right, exactly.
Okay, there you go. Okay, all right. Praise the Lord. And as I was saying earlier about a battle or a fight, when you are involved in a fight, say you're boxing or say you're in any kind of martial arts or say you people are fighting, you got a war going on, I mean, you're going to expect to get hit.
Yes.
If you're a boxer, I mean, you can only block so many shots. You can only block so many punches. But if you're in a real battle, you will get hit. Now, you may not get knocked out. You don't want to get knocked out because if you get knocked out, you've lost that particular battle. But you're going to catch a punch or two. But a lot of times when you catch a punch, you know what to do the next time this fella get ready to throw it. You're going to block that one.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's the same way in the spirit realm. And to be truthful, the stronger you get, the more anointing you get, the more powerful you get in the things of God, the enemy is not going to just sit back and say, well, you know, I'm not going to try to fight him anymore. He's going to come at you a different way. And so that's why we need the Spirit. That's why we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because just like we said before, the enemy, he can do different things, but he really can't defeat you.
Not at
all. As long as we are in Christ Jesus, as long as we are covered in the blood, he can't take us out.
He can't. And that's one thing that we have to understand. And especially during this time, is that the enemy is going to try. Why? Because it's getting closer to the manifestation of God and on this earth. And God, the devil wants us to be distracted. And what we have to do is constantly, like you said, be in the Lord, constantly get our prayer life up, fasting, get in our prayer closet. If you haven't been in a while, it's time to go back into that prayer closet and allow God to speak to you. Allow God to mold us into who he wants us to be and not what we want to be. A lot of times you might find, especially in this time, that you had some other plan, that you wanted to do this. You might have wanted this job. You might have wanted to go here. You had plans to do this by this age. And you find yourself in a predicament where nothing works. You find yourself like, God, what's going on? something's not right. My plans are not working. Why? Because they're your plans. God has a plan for you that he wants to use you in this very hour. But all
yes.
he asks is for your obedience. It's
That's
time
right.
for us to seek his face and do what he wants us to do. If you feel lost in this hour or you feel like everything you plan to do is not working, it's not a bad thing. It's only God telling you, listen, I'm talking to you. I have a plan for you to do in this hour. So it's time to listen to him and be obedient. We have to be obedient to everything God says in this hour. But we can't hear him if we don't do what? Spend time. We have
Amen.
To spend time with God. We have to take out time to worship the Lord. Praise God, read his word. One thing that we can no longer do in the church is rely on the pastor to know the scripture. We cannot do that. We can't rely on someone else to tell us what the scripture says. God wants us to read the Bible for ourselves.
That's
when
right.
you hear anybody speak of scripture, it should not be the first time you heard it, or it should not be something faint to you. It should be confirmation. God wants to speak to you first. He uses ministers and pastors for the edification of the saints. That's what Ephesians 4 says. But it's not our source. God is our source. We should be speaking directly to the Lord. And anytime we hear a word from the Lord used by a minister or a man of God, a woman of God, it should be confirmation. But a lot of times we rely on that, and God is tired of it. He doesn't want us to rely on man's words, but his words alone. He wants us to be able to seek his face and hear his word. We need to keep our ears to his mouth and speak only what he wants us to speak and be watchful of this time.
Yes. Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's true. And Pastor Williams, so many times what has happened in a lot of bodies, in a lot of church bodies and a lot of congregations is that many people, now somebody might get upset, but I'm telling the truth. Many people, they may not know it, but they are worshiping and having faith more in their leadership or the pastor
yes.
or the bishop or the evangelist
yes.
than
yes.
they do in God and Christ and God's word.
Exactly.
And that's not what that's not godly. We
it's
worship the Lord. We worship God. We get in
yes.
his word. We study the word. Everything we do is supposed to be by and to Christ Jesus because he is our Savior. We do
exactly.
not worship anything but God.
God, exactly. And that's the problem in this church today is that God is tired of that. He's ready for us to submit to him. The problem is, and I discuss this in the book, the reason why you see so many churches worshiping the pastor, you find out that people are more apt to hear or know when you ask them the scriptures or anything like that. They'll say, my bishop says, my pastor says, so-and-so says. What about God? Did God speak to you? And the reason
that's right.
that is because in the church, we as the men of God have misused our power. We as the
mm-hmm.
men of God and women of God have stepped into God's place.
Mm-hmm.
God is no longer the head of his house, and that's why he's calling the church now. He
mm-hmm.
wants to be the head of his house again. We've made ourselves the head of his house. That's
mm-hmm.
why we have allowed, and pastors and ministers have allowed people to worship us. You
mm-hmm.
can't do that. But the
yeah.
reason they're doing it is because we're in the wrong position. We're not supposed to be the head of God's house. We're supposed to be the foundation of being the servants of God, the servants
yeah.
to his people. We're shepherds.
Yeah.
Shepherds don't sit there at the top of the church and say, I'm the head, I'm the leader, and y'all do what I say. No, he serves the sheep. He guides the sheep. He makes sure the sheep is going in the right direction. When the
uh-huh.
sheep need to be fed, he feeds them. When they need
yeah.
to know information, he's there for them. A shepherd
yeah.
is a servant. But when we start having that servant spirit, we start getting into God's position. We start trying to become the king and the main man of the church and the main man of the house. No, we have to humble ourselves. And this is why God is saying, humble yourselves or you will be humbled. You don't want to be humbled by God. We
no.
have to humble ourselves because God is ready to be the head of his house. We have to remove ourselves as pastors from his house, from his throne, and become servants again. The reason they worship pastors is because the pastor is all they see. We no longer have humility. We no longer have servanthood to be able to walk with God, speak God's words, and allow ourselves to serve people. But we've made ourselves as the know-all, be-all, and we wonder why people keep saying, my pastor, my bishop, my this. said this instead of God, because that's all we see. When we move out the way and allow God to be the head of his house again, we'll start to see God manifest his glory. We'll start to see God, people understanding God on a personal level.
Amen. Now you said it. You said something there, Pastor Williams. You said something. And it's something that you said something in reference to humility and humbleness, because Jesus said something about that in Matthew 18. When
yes.
the disciples asked him about who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And what
yes.
Jesus told the disciples, he said to them, I'm just going to read what Jesus said word for word. Okay.
Yes.
Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, that's the first thing he said, be converted,
yes.
and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble themselves as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, They keep disconnecting me.
Okay. You hear him?
Yep, I can hear.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. The enemy, he's trying to fight, but he's losing.
He's losing big time.
He's losing.
The word going forth. God's going to use us anyhow. And we
Amen.
Just thank God.
Amen. Look like when you start talking about but that shows you what's going on right now, shows you that we are in a spiritual battle warfare.
Yes, we are.
Now we have never had this problem before.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to continue to bind up hindering spirits. We plead the blood of Jesus against hindering
yes,
spirits.
Lord.
We bind them up and we cast them out right now
right
by the
now,
blood
Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This word
yes.
will go forth. The revelation of this word is going forth right now in the name of Jesus Christ of
yes,
Nazareth.
Father.
We
Jesus
bind
Lord.
Up any spirits in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen
Jesus,
and amen.
Amen.
And
amen.
As I was speaking earlier, Jesus said you got to be converted, you got to be humble. And then when I did a little more study on that, now if you're not converted as a child and you're not humbled as a child, that's going to come between you and the Spirit, and the Spirit is not going to move the way he wants to move. You have
yes.
to humble yourself. You have to
yes.
convert, be like a child. One thing about a child, if you have children, anything
yes.
you tell your child to do, most of the time,
yes.
they'll just do it.
Yes.
They don't think about the whys or wherefores. They don't think about how hard it is to do it. They don't think about if it's possible or impossible. They just
yes.
go to do it.
They
and
do
that's
it, yeah.
how we should be in the Lord. When the Lord reveals something to us or tells us something, we should be humble enough to just do it.
Yes, exactly. And be
okay.
obedient. And
mm-hmm.
and that's why God really is at this moment and hour. This is you seeing. The devil will try to prevail no matter what. But
mm-hmm.
when we tap into the anointing of the Lord, and being obedient, allow his anointing to touch us, then we can be able to move in mighty works. We can be able to do things. Now, this is the problem. People get touched, or God touches
yes.
them with an anointing, mm-hmm. and they take it as their own, and
okay.
then they get arrogant.
Yes.
And that's the problem that we have faced today. We have no humility because God has used people, and because of their status or where God was taking them, instead of continuing to show humility, they allow people to put them on a pedestal. And as leaders of the church, we can no longer be put on a pedestal.
Okay.
The only person who should be on that pedestal is God. And what
Amen.
It takes is daily humility. daily humility by reading his word, allowing yourself to be humble. It's in action. As long as every day we take do things that allow humility. If someone starts to say, well, hey, Pastor Montgomery, oh, man, you are such a blessing. You're anointed of God. Oh, you highly. You say, okay, amen, thank you. But when folks try to start putting you on a pedestal, you're the next Jesus or you're the next, you have to cut that stuff out. You have to cut it down from the root. You can't allow your ego to be pleased and then allow God to suffer in the consequence because we're not obedient. In every area, we must humble ourselves on a daily task. Not allowing ourselves, because this is the thing, when you're in your area that God anointed you to do in the right place at the right time, God's going to elevate you. But if we do not continue to have humility, you're going to see a great fall. This we've recently seen in the news and such forth. It's because God wants to use his powerful people that he's called, but because we didn't stay humble, because we didn't stay humble in God, you see those same individuals fall. Why? Because they did not take the time out to make sure God was first instead of themselves. And we have to do that. But that takes daily action, and it also takes us praying and seeking God's face and staying, keeping the word inside of us and staying on our face and letting us, each other, know that without God, we're nothing. We keep thinking that we're in God's spot. Without God, we're nothing. And we have to constantly remember that and constantly be humble to let God use us no matter what.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor Williams, you said it.
Yes,
God is working a mighty work in this in this day and time.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I want to ask you something. I see in your book here, No More Mega Mess, But Mega Blessings. I want you to just kind of bring out when you say. We hear about mega churches. Exactly what would you say that is?
I would explain how God had me write the book. God gave me the title, No More Mega Mess, But Mega Blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gave me the title, I was like, God, what you doing? What you trying to say here? He really was getting the attention of the church. Because in the forefront, you see mostly mega churches that have been having a little trouble. Or been exposed. Mega churches, as considered today as a larger church, has thousands of members. But God didn't write this book for those churches. He called me to write it for the kingdom of God. This book is written for every church in the kingdom. But the mega mess is more for, he's tired of the a lot of the mess that's going on in the church. It's funny how God works. God knows how things are going to go, but it's not necessarily for the mega church. It's more God's tired of the mega mess in the church. But the church itself, God sees, and it's a revelation in the book towards the end, that he's ready to unite the kingdom. But when we apply all of these biblical principles, God wants us to become the Acts 2 church again. The church that serves him, that church where he's the head of the household, you'll see miracles happen. You'll see people getting healed. You'll see the Holy Spirit and fire coming upon people with the Holy Spirit and then being able to operate in certain giftings and anointings. Why? Because God will have total reign and control. But since right now we're blocking him, we're in the way. Man is in the way. We need to remove ourselves from that and become servants of God again. I know as far as well that you see triangles in the book. For the ones who haven't got your copy, you can get your copy of the book. It's on your right, I believe, of the blog talk. Mm-hmm. But in the book, there's triangles. The first triangle represents the church today. And the problem is that we're setting up our churches as businesses, for-profit businesses. This is not godly. God did not call for that. Because we're emulating the world. We were talking about that before. But God is wanting him to be the head of the household. But what you find is, it's just like a CEO. You have the CEO, you have the management and the leadership, and then you have the employees. Now, the employees in this pyramid scheme, I would say, they can't grow. They can only go as high as the leadership. They can never become higher than the leadership. They can never get to the point of the CEO. Well, the sad part is, when you look at the same model today, this is exactly how our churches are set up. You have the pastor, then you have the leadership, and then you have the members. And they can't go as high as the leadership. They can't go hardly even touch the pastor. Why? Because this organization has been set up now for only the pastor to get the glory. We've set it up for the pastor to be in control, and we've set it up for selfish gain and selfish motive. That's why you see only now that the church is only concerned about money. Well, if we look at the same situation with businesses, what's the purpose of a business? To make profit.
That's right.
If we set ourselves up like a business, what's our purpose? To make profit. Not God, not to save souls, but profit, money, selfish gain. And this is why God has said he's tired of this. I don't know where this started, who adapted it, or who thought this would be a good idea, but it's not of God. And many of our churches today have this fad of setting ourselves up as major corporations that are making money. Well, it's not about that. It's about saving souls. And
that's
when we
right.
take our mind off of that, we take our mind off of trying to make money off the people, when we take our mind off of trying to use God's people for selfish gain, we'll realize that, hey, God wants this done the right way. Now, all we have to do, this is very simple. God's way is the opposite. All we have to do is flip that triangle. It's the upside-down triangle in the book, if you all who read it and you see it. But God wants the glory. God wants the glory. The pastor should go from the head of the house, who is sitting in God's seat, to the foundation. He goes to the bottom. Why? Because he's a servant. The pastors, and we read Ephesians 4, the pastor, only position, why God called pastors, leaders, apostles, teachers, ministers, is for the equipping of the saints. We have to understand that. Our only job is to equip the saints, to push them towards God, to get them on relationship with the Lord, so they can fulfill their purpose in God, not for us to block them. When we continue to operate in the full business structure that we operate in, we're blocking people's growth. Why? Because they don't see God. They see us. Pastors are in the way. People say, oh, man, my God, I was blessed, but I felt that, oh, that was awesome, but I feel like I'm not growing. You have many saints who go into church and feel stuck or stagnant. They feel like, man, this is powerful, but there's more. There is God. And that's the problem, is God is wanting to do these magnificent works in his churches, but the pastor's in the way. The leadership is in the way, because that's all you see. Because their focus is not on God. Their focus is on their fleshly desires. And once we change that by flipping our agenda, number one, to repenting to God and asking forgiveness for our sins, and flipping our agenda from our agenda to God's agenda, you're going to see God manifest his works powerfully. But it all starts with the head. The head of the house is the one who always is at the top of the leadership. When you're at the top of, the top of his house, when you're at the top of God's house and you're saying you're the head, you're out of order. But this is the thing that we see. Whoever is at the top of an organization will always have the spirit of the organization. When you have many pastors who have certain spirits or things they're dealing with, you'll start seeing it trickle down to the leadership and to the members. A lot of times, I'm just going to go ahead and speak this. One thing that I've seen in a lot of churches is if the pastor's dealing with something, you'll start seeing a lot of that spirit infiltrate to the church. There's certain pastors I know who deal with things sexually, deal with things, certain addictions, deal with things as far as having unwise spirits. You'll start seeing that trickle down to the leadership and then to the membership. Why? Because it's the spirit of the house.
Yeah.
Where's the spirit of the house come from? The headship.
Yes.
But if we remove ourselves from God's place and allow God to be the spirit of the house, what's going to happen? We'll have the spirit of our Father.
That's right.
So we have to do things in order. God is calling for order in his house. We have to humble ourselves and submit ourselves to God. And we have to remove ourselves from God's seat and become humble servants. And it all starts off of humility. The people watch what you do. There was one part in the book that I discussed of how to stay humble. When we flip the organization and allow us to be the leadership, we're the foundation, we push people towards God, we allow for us to be able to minister God's word and love and serve God's people, you'll start to see a manifestation of God's glory. But one thing that God was really hit me on this point is that he wants us to be able to hear him. He wants us to be able to see him. When we're in that for-profit structure, you'll feel when you start to pray, there's a prayer disconnect. When we know it's much prayer, much power, little prayer, little power. Yeah. But when we're in the way and we're at the top of the organization, you'll start to see a prayer disconnect. You'll start to see that I'm praying, I'm worshiping, but I feel like I'm not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
Why? It's because the church is not set up for God to reign. And when God reigns, when we do allow that, you'll start to see when you pray, your prayers will be immediately answered. The anointing will come faster. It's like there's no disconnect or no block from God. So there's instant access of miracles.
That's right. That's right.
But we have to be able to do that and be obedient by that.
Well, you're absolutely right, Pastor Williams. Now, I heard you was talking about the stumbling blocks and the blocking. Now, what you were saying now, if we... there are things that we have to do. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was talking about these stumbling blocks, and he was saying this. Now, first thing I'd like to say, he was talking about offenses. Now, when we talk about offenses, we are talking about things that help people to fall away from God. We're talking about, when Jesus talked about offenses, he's talking about backsliding or people falling away from God, things of that nature. Now, what Jesus was saying in reference to that and stumbling, he said, now, Jesus said this, and he came pretty strong with it. He said, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. Cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Now, what you were saying is very important. Pastors especially, leaders especially, have to follow temperance. They have to control themselves. If it takes them stopping something, they have to do that. They have to cut that off. If they are hindering the body, if they're causing someone to fall away from Christ Jesus, they need to stop that. If they see that people are beginning to worship them and not Christ, they need to cut that off. Because, see, what's going to happen is the people that's following them could very well lose out on Christ. And then the pastor will be held, their blood will be required at his hand. Because Jesus said, whosoever shall offend the least little ones which believe in me, it will be better for him that a millstone will hang about his neck and that he will drown in the depth of the sea. He said, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be, but that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh.
Yes.
Mm. We have to be, and what you said, we have to be very careful, leaders.
Amen.
I mean, if any man or woman desires to be anything in Christ, desires to be a leader or something in Christ, desires to lead God's people, we have to be of a servant's heart. We have to be humble, and we have to be very careful not to cause offenses.
Yes.
And that's what you're talking about. And, and we have to be careful because you can offend people easily. It doesn't take that much. But one thing about it, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, God, Christ, the Holy Ghost, never offends anyone, never causes anyone to fall away from Jesus Christ.
Yes, exactly. And that's what we have to do, is to constantly let ourselves be used. And, and that's the thing. We have to let ourselves be used. We have to submit ourselves to God. We can't go in there and start speaking off of what we think we should say. We have to go in there knowing that, God, you take over. You take my mouth and you speak. And when you let God use you, you'll start seeing the manifestation of his glory. But when us, you'll start seeing fleshly desires. And this is one thing I wanted to discuss too, brother, we were talking about earlier. Yeah. We as saints have to know the difference between gift and anointing.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of people in the church who have great gifting, but they're deceiving and using that gifting for the wrong things.
All right.
With the difference between anointing is that God has placed his words inside of that person, and they're aligning with Scripture.
Yes.
Gift allows us to be able to say the right things that sound good, say
mm-hmm.
the right traditional things that you like to hear,
mm-hmm.
including some people might like to hear a hoop and a holler, some people might like to hear singing. Whatever
yeah.
it is, they know how to use their gift to see to know what you like.
Yeah.
Anytime you hear anybody ministering, anything coming forth over a pulpit or ministry, you always must align it with Scripture. Don't
yeah.
I don't care who it is. I tell people all the time, I don't care if it's me, somebody else, who it is. I don't care if it's your mama, dad, anybody. If anybody tells you anything out of Scripture, it is your duty to make sure that it's in Scripture by spending time with the Lord and reading your Scripture for yourself. One thing that I always tell people to do is when you go to services, write down the Scripture. Study it for yourself so that you know. Because a lot of times what we'll find is people rely so much on these our leaders is that when they're wrong, we believe it instead of going to the Bible and reading it for ourselves to get true understanding. And a lot of people now, the enemy is trying to set up with great gifts, and they're not anointed to do what they're called to do, but they're only gifted. Hello? 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 Oh, Lord.
We're all still here.
Okay, you all still here. So we're going to get Pastor back on the line. But I'm going to continue until he gets back on the line here. Let's see. But, yeah, we have to definitely – hold on real quick. We're going to take a brief intermission. Hold on, he's on the line.
All right.
I should be on now.
Hey, so we're back on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm good now.
Okay,
yes,
good. All right. But yes, sir, we rebuke this devil. Constantly pray, saints. But we thank God for everything that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we give him all the honor, glory, and praise. But we have to constantly do that. We have to understand between gifting and anointing. Because, like I said, the enemy's trying to set up his camp to send a lot of gifted people. But to deter God's saints from knowing the truth. And the only reason we know the truth or can know the truth is we study God's word for ourselves.
Yes.
And God wants us to come to him and have a personal relationship and not rely on man. Another thing is, too, is that God is ready for the church to unite. He's ready for us to get away from our denominational beliefs, a belief system, because it's dividing us. It's dividing the kingdom of God. He's ready to unite and for us to come as one. One thing that we have to stop doing, and God is tired of, is the denominations or our separate beliefs dividing us from this word of God. One thing that we have to do and come together in is if it's not in the word of God, it's not truth. I don't care what happened. I don't care how it came about or anything like that. God wants us to come together under one truth, which is the word of God. A lot of denominations came about simply for the fact of God, many people feeling God revealed something to them in Scripture, or people felt like they were escaping from another one, another denomination, or
mm-hmm.
some people felt like that God was calling them to say a certain thing. But this is the thing. God never called us to divide. If God reveals something to you, he's not calling you to start a denomination. He's calling you to be one and tell the truth to the church. But a lot of times as man, we take something and we take God's words and we take what we want to take and we say, well, since you believe this and I believe this, I'm going to go over here and start what I want to do. That's ill motive. We're doing things that we want to do instead of God. And God is tired of that, and he's ready for us to unite. So as the kingdom of God, unites, we have to. God is calling for us to get rid of that denominational mess. In the end time church, God, you will not see denominations. You're going to
That's
see
right.
one church, one bride that's mature and ready to marry Christ.
That's
God
right.
is going to purify the church that we're all on one accord. And that's why, even in Ephesians 4, where he talks about the maturity, he created pastors, leaders, and apostles for us to have the maturity until we all come to the unity and the faith, unity and the faith. of God and understand that we are one. We are a body of Christ. When we're separated into many pieces, you'll never see the manifestation of God's body. You got to understand something. When we come together, this is part of God's plan. When we come together and stop fighting, a kingdom divided cannot stand. When we come together and stop fighting each other and get on one accord to this one truth called the Bible, you'll see God's power very effective. This is what you'll see happen. You'll see each body part or each limb across the world that's been divided for so long come together and start operating in their true purpose because they fulfill their purpose in God. Why? Because they know the truth. They spend time with God. They heard God and are obedient. The church is set up correctly to do what it's called to do and its purpose. And guess what? What you fulfill is the body of Christ.
That's right.
One thing that we have to recognize is God's plan is to fulfill his kingdom. We are his kingdom. But we can't do that. We can't fulfill it if we're divided body parts. We have to come together as one body to fulfill his kingdom. And once his body's here, once we fulfill the body of Christ, all Christ needs to do is sit on the throne as the head. Then we have the full manifestation of the body of Christ and of God. But it's very critical that we're obedient to fulfill the body of Christ, that we are obedient as each body part to do what we're called to do and to come together as one.
Amen. Amen. Hey, that's it. That's it. I mean, but, well, too, one thing that has happened is the church didn't start off the way it is now. If you remember first century, when the apostles walked the earth, when Jesus Christ first set up the church, they didn't even give themselves a name. They just said,
they did not.
They just said, are you a believer or are you in the way of Jesus Christ? They did not have any type of denomination.
They did not.
They did not have any type of denomination. And as a matter of fact, when you read the scripture, when you go into Acts, you'll find out. And then even in when Jesus was on the scene, anytime they went to talking, they started talking about trying to give an apostle some kind of they build him up to try to make something big. And they said, no, don't do that.
No,
we're men like you.
Yeah.
Get off your knees. Don't worship us. You worship Jesus Christ.
And
all of them were
humility.
Saying the same thing.
Yes.
They were not seeking glory for themselves. They were pointing people to God in Christ.
Exactly.
They were all on one accord. When they came out of the upper room, when they were in the upper room, they were on one accord. When they came out of the upper room, they were still on one accord. They were all preaching and teaching the same thing. Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Yes.
There were no denominations
at
all.
It
was just Christ, Jesus, and that's what they preach. But what we want to do right now, Pastor Williams, we want to try to give opportunity to individuals to call in with their questions. Our call-in number is 323-375-0849. I know that there's some people still holding on now, but there may be some other people that want to call in. But the number is 323-375-0849. 323-375-0849. And as we were saying earlier, and what you were saying earlier, that is the problem with the body now. And think about it. If you had no knowledge, if you didn't have any knowledge at all of things of God or things of Christ, and, you know, the Lord touched you some kind of way, or you found a Bible and you start reading it, or you start getting an interest in churches, you would go to all these different churches, and a lot of times you would hear all kinds of different things.
Yes.
About Christ Jesus.
Yes, you would. Yes.
And it's only like that in the Christian church. Now, when you start getting into some of these other different religions, I'll go out on a limb. I'm going to go way out on a limb. Now, when you talk about stuff in witchcraft, when you talk about voodoo, whoever is in voodoo in Africa and they're in voodoo in, say, United States, guess what? It's the same.
Yeah.
They're not
exactly.
saying anything different. They're not saying anything different. That's the
no.
same. Now, we're going to dismiss that. But what I'm saying is, in Christ, in the church, it should be the same thing.
Right.
If it's
yeah.
holiness in this church, it should be holiness in the other church.
Exactly.
Okay? If it's deliverance in this church, it should be deliverance in the other church. If
yes.
it's, well, we know it should be salvation in all churches, but if it's sanctification here, it's sanctification there.
Yes, exactly.
If you're living right in this church, it's living right there. I mean,
exactly.
if you believe that all things are possible to them that believe, it should be universal.
Exactly.
In the churches. It shouldn't
exactly.
be one church believe this, another church believe this, another denomination believe this. One denomination believe that you can be saved today and not be saved tomorrow, and you're going to make it in. You can
yeah.
live, one church believe you can live holy, another church believe you don't have to live holy. One church believe, well, you can accept this part of the word, but you don't have to accept that part of the word.
Exactly.
No. No.
We have to live in unity.
We have to be in unity. We have to be in unity. We have to be on one accord.
Yes.
And if you're not on one accord, it's just like what you said, you're hindering the movement of the Spirit.
Yes, yes, we are. And like we went back to the Acts 2 church, I just want to say this real quick before we go to the lines. When we go back to the Acts 2 church, that was the original church that God set up. He
yes.
set up the church when it began the ministry. It was in Acts 2. He first anointed them, and then he got them ready. He told them they can't go out and start ministering and doing those works until he first anointed them. Then the Holy Spirit came upon them, and that's when they were ready. First is anointing. You can't go on this thing with gift. And for the pastors and ministers who are not sure if this is your call or not, I urge you and pray right now to go in your prayer closet, everyone, and seek God's face. Ask God, what is it that he called you to do in this very hour? Because he wants you to do it. It's okay if you've done it in the past. It's okay if you messed up and had ill motive or you became a pastor minister for money. That's fine. But as long as you repent and as long as you give your heart to God, for him to use you now is what matters. And that's what
Amen.
We have to do is repent now. God is ready to change the man's heart now. He's ready to save souls now. But we first have to repent of our sins and turn from our ways to do what God is calling for us to do in this critical hour. Because God has shown me something is about to happen in half the hour. God keeps telling me that. Something is about to happen in half the hour. And that's, the hour is this year. So half the hour, God told me to keep saying that. Half the hour, something's about to happen. That's about to hit this world and get its attention. So especially to the church. Remember, 1 Peter 4:17, judgment first comes to the church. But if it starts with the church, what is it going to be like for the ones who are not saved and don't believe in Christ? So we have to be obedient. And for the ones of God who are not sure, get in your prayer closet. Seek his face. And the saints who are wondering what to do in this time, and God's have you in a shaky place, a place where you feel like you're not used, is because he wants you to fall on your face and hear his voice and be obedient to what he called you to do. That's why it's not working, because he has another plan, a greater plan. But guess what? During this time that's coming, there's going to be famine. There's going to be a lot of horrible things that's going to happen. The government's going to, the economy's going to crash. Everything. God has shown me these things, and it's confirmation that other people are sick. God is showing the same stuff to. Why? Because he's wanting to get the attention of this world. We have
that's
to
right.
be obedient. And during this time, we have to see God's face. Your life set, during this time, we're going to have to trust God. I know it might be a hard season for a lot of people, but God is trying to get you in him, because it's going to be a tough time for this world, but it will not be the tough time for the saints as long as they stay in God and have wisdom. Wisdom is the most precious thing we can have in God. We have to have wisdom. Ask God for wisdom and discernment so we can discern what's going on around us and have the wisdom to get resources. There's going to be a time, God, y'all, in America, in this world, where resources that we're used to, such as water, such as food, is not going to be there soon, very soon. But if we stay in God, if we use godly wisdom, God is going to show us and send us manna from heaven. He's going to provide for his children who are obedient to him during this hour. Remember, it's time for us to get in God. It's time for us to be obedient. It's time for us to see God and do what he tells us to do. But it only can come from my Father in heaven, not man. Man can confirm it, but he can't tell you anything new. God tells you first.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Just like you were saying, it's coming to a time where it's, you're going to know what kind of faith you have. The Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. And listen, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
Yes.
It says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, something about that faith. Now, well, we've heard it spoken many times. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It says, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Then it goes into the all the various prophets and patriarchs who exercise faith. They say, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Yeah.
So it's getting to the point is we're going to have to exercise our faith in God, because it's going to be some times when we're not going to be seeing things that we had seen before.
Yes.
And like you said, if there's no water, then going to have to exercise some faith in God to get it. So he can tell you where it is, or you're going to have to believe for some rain. But if you don't have any faith, if you haven't been converted, if you haven't repented, if you don't have a relationship with God, if you have been looking to men, if you've been looking to bishops, if you've been looking to pastors, if you've been looking to evangelists, and your hope and your faith is in these men, you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
You are, and that's the problem, because faith moves God. And that's why God is going to increase our faith as believers. We want to see miracles happen, but we don't allow our faith to increase to believe God for those miracles. We just say it with our mouths but don't believe it in our heart. And so when we speak those things and we say, I believe you, God, but God says, how much do you believe me? Because guess what, saints? It's about to come a time where, like the pastor said, your faith is going to have to increase. And God is going to do this not because he's trying to smite us or anything like that. He loves us. But he's doing this to get the attention of the world. And when we increase our faith and believe God, trust me, the stuff that's coming, you're going to have to believe God. You're going to have to be in God and trust him. Your job is not going to be stable. You're not going to have to – you can't trust in your job. You can't trust in the economy. You won't even be able to trust in the government. The only thing you're going to be able to trust in is your Father in heaven, that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's your trust, because he's the only one who can guide you through it. Not man, not anyone else. But you have to listen to him in this final hour.
That's right. That's right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listening audience, if there is anyone who desires to call in, the call-in number is 323-375-0849, 323-375. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is surely
Amen.
Here.
Amen.
God is
God, Amen.
God is surely good. I just praise the Lord.
I thank him right now. We just give him glory.
Amen.
We give him all the honor, glory, and praise.
Amen, amen. I was just thinking, as you were saying, we were talking about faith, and as you were saying in reference to men. Now, the Bible tells us something about this faith. Hebrew 11 go through the whole experience of faith of all the different people who exercise faith. Now, when you really exercise in faith, it's kind of like you're believing for something that's not there, but you know that God is going to manifest something to bless you.
Yes.
You know this. This is faith. You don't see it. If you saw it, then you don't have to exercise faith.
Yes.
when you don't see it, you don't know
faith.
Where it's coming from,
that's
and
it.
You have faith in God, that's faith.
Yes.
Because when you go back in the scripture, you find out that a lot of believers back then had faith in things that they didn't see. And a lot of them didn't even receive it, but their siblings received it, their ancestors,
mm-hmm.
their children received it. But they still had faith and believed that God was going to do it.
Yes, and that's what we kind of say we have to have.
That's what we
got to
have.
We like to say, show me God, and then I'll believe. But, you know, God says, no, you believe, then I'll show you.
That's
so
right.
We have to be able to be obedient and to know, look, no matter what, God's going to test your faith. That's how you increase in faith, is that God is going to test your faith.
That's
how we increase in faith, is when he tests us. Now, tests are not going to be easy, but it's necessary for this time. And what God's going to do, there might be a situation that God wants you to trust him on. So it might not work out the way you think. You might get frustrated. But God's saying, if you believe in me, you won't have any frustration. You know what? One thing that God told me a lot of times, especially when he reveals something to me, I'll be like, God, what you mean? What's going on? God keeps telling me, D'Angelo, D.M. Williams, come on, brother. I keep telling you the same thing. My words haven't changed. It's only your belief.
That's right.
And God keeps telling us the same thing. He keeps saying, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. Be obedient. But our faith keeps wavering, and we keep thinking God is changing his mind, but it's really us not believing in what he originally said. And God, you find yourself, God constantly reminding you of what he's originally told you. There's tons of times that we can find that the people, when God led the Israel out of the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
they were doubting. They were doubting what Abraham said. They were doubting the promises that God gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They didn't believe it. They was like, well, we don't see it. Where is it? And they start going to idols. You can't do that. We have to humble ourselves and trust God in the dark times. We have to trust God in the weary times, because guess what? If God gave you a promise, you better hold sure that God's going to fulfill that promise and do what he called you to do, and he's going to fulfill it in due timing. Everything has a season. We have to remember that, and just because you don't see it now, trust me, when the season comes, what God promised you is going to come to pass.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Williams, we have some people that's holding on. I would like to ask, does any of them have any type of opinions or questions? We have 646-377-6576. We also have 678-760-7652. If you have any questions or anything you'd like to say, you can say it now. We have time, so I'm just opening the floor to you, opening the broadcast to you. If you have a question, you can speak. Well, if not, I'm going to bring out some things here. As Pastor Williams was going forth in reference to faith, I'm reminded of Hebrews 12, where it says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Yes.
It says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds.
Mm. That's it. That's it. We can't be weary in well-doing. We can't give up the fight. We have to stay focused. We have to do what God wants us to do. It's key.
Amen.
The enemy's going to fight. Like you said, expect a battle. But know the battle's already won. All you have to
That's
do
right.
is just speak the name of Jesus. Speak the one who already took the power away. And
That's
when
right.
you do that, the battle's over immediately. But we
That's
keep
right.
trying to fight in our own flesh and lose instead of giving it to God. God always gives you a way of escape. He always
That's
gives
right.
you a way of escape, no matter what. And so when we start that battle, you see warfare in your life. You plead the blood of Jesus. You speak
Amen.
God's authority over that situation. You know that by Jesus' stripes, that you are not only healed, you are whole. By Jesus' stripes, the situation is going to change to God's will. This is the
That's
thing.
Right.
saints, when you pray, don't pray with motives. Pray for God's will to be done. Because
Amen.
We'll pray for something to happen and get mad at God when it don't happen our way. We have to leave ourselves open to only expect God's will to be done. And God's will might not be our plan. Remember, we're not leading our lives. God is the pilot. We're the co-pilot. Don't allow yourself to be the pilot. He's the co-pilot. Let God lead your life. Let him show you where he wants you to go. And the next thing you'll notice yourself fulfilling your destiny. You'll notice yourself being deeper in the Lord and seeing things you never saw before and being places you've never been.
Amen. 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 Another thing that, you're preaching. you're saying some very good things, meaty things, things that put meat on your bones, meat on your spiritual bones, and that's good. That's good because, well, I just have to say, I just be truthful. A lot of people, they're putting the word out, but they're putting out a lot of sweet stuff. You know,
yeah.
And they're not dealing with something that's going to make you strong. Now, when you want to go out to dinner, someone invites you to their home for dinner, and they just serve you fruit and vegetables and pies and cakes. You know, you might eat it, you know, to be hospitable or
right.
to be courteous or polite, but you really want some meat. You know, you want some steak, or you might want some chicken. If you like duck, you might want some duck. You might want some lamb. You might want some potatoes. You know, something heavy. And you don't want to
exactly
eat potato chips and pies. You
right.
know, you don't want dessert all the time. You know, it's time out for the sweet stuff and the sugar. And the light stuff. The enemy is fighting us with everything he has. And
yes.
I would say this: your house, your car, your money, your carnal things, your fleshly things. The devil will run right through that. He will destroy you if you're coming at him with that stuff.
Yeah,
we're fighting
nothing.
A spiritual battle, and that's what your book is bringing out, a spiritual battle. Now, you have something in your book in reference to no more manipulating the tithes and offering.
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of elaborate on that a little bit,
yes.
because that's been beaten into the ground.
Yes, God is really wanting to bless us. God
mm-hmm.
asked us to give 10%
mm-hmm.
of our tithe. And offering is extra, offering to him. The problem is that God is not only concerned, God is not concerned about our money. He's concerned about our obedience.
Amen.
That's all he wants. But God also does not want 10% of your money or anything like that. He wants 10% of your time. He wants your time. He wants your resources. Why? Not for a manipulative purpose, but to fulfill his kingdom, excuse me. But
mm-hmm.
the problem is that we see is that the church is only focused on one need,
mm-hmm.
that's money. So
yeah.
what do they focus on in tithing and during tithing offering? Money. This is the problem, because instead of allowing the process to be between the person and God, we usually as leaders step in and say, don't give under compulsion, but we need to give right now. So $100 giver, $200 giver, different tactics to try to get people to give money. Instead, we are being disobedient to God because we as leaders are not trusting God to provide. When God gives a vision, he gives provision. He's not
okay.
going to tell you to do something without blessing it. We don't have
okay.
to manipulate people in schemes to try to get money out of them. The process
okay.
of tithing offering is not between the pastor and me and you. It's between the person and God. It's their individual love towards the Lord and their obedience to God. You can't
Amen.
Force anybody to do anything that they don't want to do. But the problem
right.
is we stepped in and we've allowed our hand in the bucket instead of saying, okay, we're going to allow you to give according to what God has touched on your heart to give. If
mm-hmm.
somebody come to you saying, God told me to give a $555 blessing seed, that's not God. That's flesh. That's manipulation. God doesn't tell you what to give. If God didn't tell you that, if you didn't hear that within your spirit, but you heard somebody else tell you to tell you that, you got to confirm it with God. God wants you to give out of your heart. not Amen. Because of manipulation. People, we have these manipulative, even prophets, who try to sell their gift and do that. That is demonic, very demonic, and that is manipulation in the church. God is tired of it. Don't give in to anybody trying to manipulate you out of money. And pastors and leaders, stop doing it. We should make that process between them and God. Only thing you should say is that God, the tithe is 10% and offering is over that. Anything else, that's fine. But you let that person, individual, give that. Don't touch your money. Don't manipulate them. Don't try to give them a $2,000 seed and your blessing will come tomorrow. Money does not move God. Faith does. And that thing is they're trying to manipulate and say because you believe for the seed that it's going to work. You got to understand, there's a deep sensation of manipulation in the church. God doesn't care about the money. Your obedience, if God told you to do that, then he will bless you. But if he did not, don't listen to man. Listen to God. Don't let man interfere with what God is doing. And that's what we were talking about in the book, is that manipulation has to stop. The process is not with you and the pastor. It's with you and God. Don't allow the pastor to reach in your pocket and manipulate you because of the need of the church. And pastors, stop relying on that and allow God to show the provision for the vision that he's given you.
Amen. Well, Pastor Williams, that's where the faith is. I mean, if you have faith and you believe in God, you say you're a believer, and you're following after Christ, then you should believe and have faith that, as we've been saying, that God and Christ is going to supply your needs. Why are you begging? Now, it's something that you put this in the book.
Exactly. And the sad part is, brother, that we've, pastors and leaders have made this a lifestyle because they stepped out of the zone of believing God and doing God's will, and they got caught up into the sinful things and the love of money and the love of desirable things instead of the will of God. So you have people manipulating people and the members to gain access to the demonic realm of money.
Ooh.
The love of money is the what? Root of all evil. It can change your mind. It'll change your mind from doing God's will to doing what God does not want you to do. And it'll end up, guess what? Deterring the members of the church. There's plenty of people who see these men and women of God and get discouraged. Why? Because they see that they're not living the godly life behind the scenes. God is ready for the saints of God to be obedient and live what they say. Pastors and leaders to live what they say, preach what they do, and be humble, not to allow the enemy to come in and to be able to use us, because guess what? What we do, the people do. They look at us. They see us. They say, are you going to be obedient to God? I know there's a God of you obedient. Sometimes God, people see God in you. They're the only God you see. You're the only God that they see. The unbeliever, they don't know who God looks like, but they look at you. They say, if this man is being obedient to God, if he's doing the will, he's blessed, I know there's a God. Sometimes that's all they see. But if they continue to see leaders and pastors and people manipulating folks and having high flashy cars and all this stuff and saying it's in the name of the Lord, but people are suffering at their hand, they won't believe in God. They'll get deterred. Why? Because that's not the godly way. And God is tired of that and wiping the slate. He's ready for the true saints of God to stand up and to live and to do what he wants them to do and to be obedient by every book, I mean, every letter of the book, and also by the Spirit of God. Whatever he tells them to do, they're obedient by. They live by Scripture. They live. They have fruits of the Spirit. You don't see them walking around being arrogant. You don't see them walking around looking above people. You don't see them walking around with money and flashy cars and diamonds and things. And the people, the members are walking. We can't do this. We have to have a humble heart, y'all. A humble heart to be able to serve. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about God's manifestation of his glory. We have to make sure that we, even when we are ministering salvation, we have to make sure that it's God that's the focus. Because some people will only focus on doing that to gain membership. Don't worry about membership. Remember, if you reach one, you got it. God called you, but that one person matters the most. If you're looking for thousands, it's not going to happen. If God can't trust you with one, what makes you think he's going to trust you with thousands? We have to be obedient to what God wants us to do. We have to be obedient to say, God, I don't care how many members. I don't care how much money. God, I'm going to speak your word. I'm going to be obedient. And then, guess what? You see the manifestation of his glory. This is what happens. When God gives you a word to say, when he gives you something to do and you're obedient by it, God will send the people. He'll send the resources. But if you don't trust him and you try to do it yourself, you'll find yourself in a hole, stuck and deterred from God's will.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Pastor Williams. Praise the Lord. See, that's what's happening. See what's going on. Everything that you've said is where we need to be, because we have to go by the Spirit of the Living God, and the Spirit of the Living God does not go against God's word. The Spirit of the Living God does not go against Christ. It does not go against God. The Holy Ghost will keep us on track with Christ Jesus in everything that we do. Now, when we say we are filled with the Spirit, we won't have all this mess.
We won't.
We won't, because the Spirit of God continually checks us. He continually tells us when we're going off track, when we're moving in the flesh, when we're getting carnal-minded. The Spirit of God is going to give us a check. Now, what happens sometimes is we ignore the checks.
We do.
We want to do anyway, and then when we do what we want to do anyway, that opens the door for the enemy.
Yes.
And he will come in he'll come in and body slam you. That's what he'll do.
Yes, he will. He will. You'll be looking like, what happened?
Yeah. And it's because, you, like you said, you were disobedient.
Yes.
And all of us know when we go into disobedience, because we'll feel the check of the Spirit. We'll go somewhere else. But we won't do what the Spirit tells us to do. Because sometimes we'll say, we'll start rebuking the Holy Ghost when he tells us something that we don't want to do. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The devil is a lie. No, the Holy Ghost don't lie.
Yes.
He can't. He can't. So when he tells us something, we have to that's when we exercise our faith right there.
Yes.
When the Spirit of God is telling us to do something that we don't want to do, then we exercise our faith. Then we humble ourselves. Then we subdue our carnal mind and get the mind of Christ. And then we can go on and we can avoid a lot of pain, a lot of trouble, and a lot of mess.
We can. Mm-hmm. We can. And that's the thing, is that we constantly battle with our mind. And one thing we have to do is make sure when we start doubting, that's the moment that we have to align our mind and put our mind under subjection of the Holy Spirit. And the reason that we fight so much with faith is not because of our spirit. Our spirit always believes. It's our flesh. Our flesh constantly doubts. So we have to constantly put our flesh in subjection to believe God and not allow ourselves to stop ourselves from believing what God says and moving forth and taking the steps to do it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, Pastor Williams, I'm overjoyed, and I'm blessed in the Spirit. I'm thankful for everything that has been said and gone forth, because it has truly been the Spirit. Because we had talked a little bit before the program, but we didn't talk about what we were going to talk about on the program.
Right, exactly. It's God, brother.
Amen. And the Lord, and see, that's how the Holy Ghost works. That's how the Spirit of God works. He's going to talk about what he wants to talk about. If you let him.
Yes.
If you let him. If we've had a program and say, we're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about this, let's bring out this and let's bring out that, then we would have missed the Spirit of God wanted to do.
Yep, exactly. Exactly, brother.
And as you said earlier, God is tired of the programs.
Yes, he is. He very much is.
Mm-hmm.
He is. He's very tired of the programs, and he's tired of us in the way. All we have to do, it's really simple, but it just takes obedience. Don't let the enemy trick you. Don't let the enemy say, he just doing a lot of bluff. Go to your word. If you don't believe me, go to your word. You read that. You read Acts. You read the book of Acts. You read Ephesians 4. You read Ephesians. Mm-hmm. You read Matthew and John, where it talks about our Savior walking this earth and what he told us to do. You read those books, and you'll see that God is united. God is one. There is no separate God over here. There ain't no separate Jesus that died over the cross on Sunday over here. And there's only one God, one Christ.
That's right.
One faith, one baptism.
That's right.
And that is what we live by. Well,
that's
one,
right.
Y'all, we have to stay one and be one. We have to unite and get rid of our fleshly desires and our ego.
That's
one
right.
thing that's made a lot of men and women fall in the past and a lot of leaders, period, is ego. That's easing God out. When we have
that's
ego
right.
and allow our flesh to rise, think that we have arrived, that we're it, that we have this thing, is when we really don't have it. When we think we got it in control, that's when we really don't have it. God says, when you are weak, I am strong. God is strong when we're the weakest. He can use us when we're the weakest. Why?
Yeah.
Because we're not in the way. We allow God to become the head of our life. So we have to stop letting ego get in the way of being obedient. We have
that's
to be obedient and stop easing God out. So once we do that, we'll start seeing God manifest in our lives. It's simple. All it takes is repentance. Right now, repent. Say, God, I repent of my sins. Lord, I want to receive you in my life. Forgive me. If you are saved, ask God for forgiveness, and you want to turn from your wicked ways. Receive me back into your heart right now in Jesus' name. And if
mm-hmm.
you're not saved, say, God, Father, right now, I want to give my life to you. I love you, Lord. I thank you, Father. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, Father God. And right now, I give my life to you. Accept
yes.
me into your kingdom right now in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer, you just got saved. We welcome you to the kingdom of God. Why? Because God loves you. God is ready to use us. God
right.
is ready to do mighty works. And all we have to do is repent of our ways and submit ourselves to God so God can do glorious works in us. Without him, we're nothing. But in him, we mean everything.
Amen, 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 and amen. Another thing I want to bring out also is that we have to realize that God truly has no respect of persons.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't have a respect of persons. God wants his spirit to move through all of his people.
Yes.
He does. He does. He wants
he
us
does.
To come to the maturity of Jesus Christ. God
yes.
wants us to destroy the works of the enemy. That's what he
yes.
wants us to do. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to make disciples of other men, tell other people about Christ. That's what God wants us to do. But
exactly.
just like you said, you just said it. In order to do any of that, we first have to humble ourselves and accept Jesus Christ as Lord. And you just said that. You just invited them to Christ.
Yes, sir.
And when
yes,
and,
sir.
And when people accept the Lord, then they can go on in the things of God.
Yes.
And he will move through them. If they
yes,
allow
he will.
Him to. We have a choice. We have a choice to make. We can be strong. We can choose to be strong in the Lord, or we can choose to be weak in the Lord.
Say it.
We can choose to allow the Spirit to do what he wants to do in and through us, or we can choose not to allow him to be strong in us.
Yes, sir.
You know, and that's basically where we are. But one thing I would like to say is that God's desire is that every human being is saved.
Yes, every
is God's desire. Yeah, that's his desire. It's his desire that every human being be saved, every human being be filled with the Spirit, and every human being is maturing and growing in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That's God's will. It's all through
yes.
the Scripture. That's why
it
Jesus
is.
Came and did what he did.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter your past. It don't matter where you came from. It don't matter what you did. And that's one thing that we have to recognize is, like you said, God don't care about what you did in the past. He don't even care what you think you're going to do. As
that's
long
right.
as you give your life to him, he's going to use you mightily.
That's
he's
right.
going to use you mightily. And we have to recognize that. And we look it over in the book of the Bible. God used murderers. He used adulterers. He used folks who use other people, who killed other people. It doesn't matter. God wants your heart. The moment
mm-hmm.
you give yourself to Christ, he wipes those sins away. And he allows you to, he takes you into his kingdom and washes you clean and accepts you as his child and uses you. He gives you his purpose that he called. Many people say, and I hear this a lot on TV, that I'm trying to find my purpose, trying to find my purpose. One thing that you will not be able to do without God is find your purpose.
Amen.
You cannot know what you're called to do unless you go to the Creator, like I said earlier. A tool doesn't know its purpose unless the Creator gives it one. And it has to
okay.
go to the Creator only to know what the purpose is. But we have many in the world, I hear all over the TV, many in the world trying to find their purpose. But we have to go out there, y'all, and tell them about Christ.
Why? Because Christ is the only one who can tell them who they are. Why? Because God created them. And that's the point. God created us. And only God can tell us what our purpose is. Only God can tell us what we're fulfilled to do. But people don't know God. They seek man. They seek things. They seek the universe. That's not God. God is our Lord and Savior. We have to present this salvation message to everyone we know. Everywhere we go, at work, on the bus stop, on the train, in the car, at the gas station, everywhere. Why? Because people are hungry. But we have to stand up, and that's why God's ready to get his church in order and his kingdom in order. Because he's ready to stand up and say, I am God. Worship me. He's ready to show them who he is. But we have to be faithful to go out and present this message and make disciples. We have to go out and present this message and allow God to use us for people to get saved, y'all. It's about him and no one else. Only about God. Only about God. And it's only about God. That should be our agenda.
That's right. That's right. It's about Christ. That's really all it's about. It's about the Lord. And see, the thing about it also, Pastor Williams, is that we have to be diligent because of the onslaught of the enemy. Now, we're sitting right here, and we're talking about the things of God, and somebody just died. A whole bunch of people are going into eternity. And we don't know if all of them have accepted the Lord or not, but one thing we do know is people are leaving here wholesale. I mean, and so therefore we have to be diligent in the things of God, because Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, doesn't want anybody to be lost.
At all.
No, he said, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. That's what he came for. So it's not his will that any man perish, but we have to do our part. We have to live the life. We have to walk the walk. We have to talk the talk. And we have to allow God's kingdom, as you said, to be manifest through us. We have to do that, because as you said earlier, we are the only book or epistle that many men will read.
Exactly. And as God tells us, we have to let our light shine before men so we can give honor and glory to our Father in heaven. We have to do that. We have to let our light shine. We have to be able to live this word and go into the world. That's part of the kingdom. We go into the world. In the marketplace, we go into our jobs, we go in the churches, we go everywhere. This is the thing about the churches. God does not want us to have a comfort zone. We need to stop ministering light to light. It's time for the church to get outside the four walls and minister to the darkness. But we're afraid to do that because it's not an easy word. It's out of our comfort zone. That goes to faith. God will always get you out of your comfort zone when he's increasing your faith. It's going to be the hardest thing to do. But God wants to do that because he's ready for the agenda to be him making disciples and saving souls and presenting this message. Not about money. It's not about the pastor. It's about God's will and us getting outside the four walls and doing what he wants us to do.
Well, Pastor Williams, that's how the church started. That's how it started. I mean, they were in the upper room. But after they were filled with the Spirit, they came out of the upper room. And when they came out of the upper room, then God really started moving. He started doing some things. I mean, if you remember, the scripture says that the shadow of the apostle Peter was healing people. Why was his shadow healing people? Because he had been with Christ Jesus. He had come out of the upper room being filled with the Spirit of the Most High God.
And the Holy Spirit, the helper.
And God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Forevermore.
If they did it, we can do it, but we have to come to that standard. We have to obey the Lord. We have to push the plate away sometimes.
We
have to worship God sometimes. We have to fast and pray sometimes. We have to humble ourselves. We have to get into the Word. We have to study God's Word. And when we study it, we have to exercise it.
Yep, we have to apply. We have to. That's how we live, and we have to. We can't be sayers of the word, but not doers. We got to be doers of the word. We got to read it. Regurgitate. This is the thing. You have so many saints, the ones who read their word, and it's filled in them. It's stuffed in them. No one wants to regurgitate it. No one wants to tell somebody else the good news. They read the Bible for themselves, but guess what? That great word that's inside of you, that's in your belly, it's time to regurgitate it. It's time to get it out and to bless other people's souls. It's time to present that great message of Christ. It's time to regurgitate the things of the Lord that God has placed in us. He didn't place it in us for us to be fat and full. He placed it in us so we can have an anointing to give to other people and to speak to other people and to present the good news of Christ to others. That's why he gives us and he fills us up so we can pour back out and he can fill us up again.
That's right. Amen, amen, amen. You know what? When you said that in reference to eating, now, I would say it like this. Bodybuilders, okay? People who build themselves up and, you know, get their muscles built up, they eat a lot. But what they do after they eat, they exercise. They work. They work. It's the same way in the spirit. When you eat the word of God, you need to exercise. And when you exercise in the spirit, guess what? Your spirit is going to become strong.
When you get stronger, amen, say it.
Amen. But when you just eat and eat and eat and you don't do any exercise, guess what? You're going to get fat.
Yep.
And when you get fat, you get lazy. And when you get lazy, other stuff will start happening to your body. And it's not long before you get physically sick. Now, I'm not blasting anyone. I'm just telling you a fact.
Yes.
If you don't burn off those calories, if you don't exercise, your muscles are not going to build up.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen.
Exactly.
And you'll be,
God wants us to build it,
And he wants us to be strong. So we have to exercise the word. And another thing, what you were talking about when you were speaking in reference to the leaders, it was something in Timothy.
sir.
In 1 Timothy 3, and I'm going to read. I just believe in reading and bringing out the word. I'm not going to give you my opinion of anything.
Say,
but I'm going to bring out the word. The word comes first. Now, in 1 Timothy 3 and 1, this is the qualifications of, they say, an overseer, but any leader. I say it like this.
Yes, sir.
Said, this is true saying, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. See that? That's the first thing the apostle said, blameless.
Yep.
The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, not a striker, and say he's not quick to fight and want to slap somebody upside the head, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, that's what you just said a little while back, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, not humble, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach of the snare of the devil. And it's just about the same way with the deacons. Likewise with the deacons.
Exactly.
It's just like when you're saying, when this book, No More Mega Mess But Mega Blessings. See, as you said earlier, you said this earlier. If you have anybody in a leadership position who has a fault, that fault is going to filter down through that body.
Yes.
That's why the scriptures say we have to be blameless. You and I have to be blameless.
Yes, we do. We do.
You know, and if somebody says something, the scripture says, let it be false.
Yes.
we really have to be led by the Spirit.
We do. We do.
We really do.
We
my Lord, my Lord. Pastor Williams, the time has gone. We got 9 minutes left.
Amen. We've been having a wonderful, blessed time, and I pray the ones who listen are being blessed. Oh, this is awesome, and I thank God.
God is good, and as you said earlier, God, he doesn't change.
No, he doesn't.
The same way the church started off some 2,000 years ago, when Christ established the church in authority and power, and it wasn't just the apostles that were doing things. The deacons were doing things. Yeah. The lay members were doing things. So everybody was flowing in the Spirit. They were flowing in the Spirit because they were united. They were preaching the same thing. The anointing was on them. They were moved by the Spirit of God, and they were speaking the Word of God. All of them were saying the same thing.
All of them. All of them.
They were all saying the same thing. You know, I mean, when the apostles came on the scene, there was no confusion. And if there was confusion,
they dealt with it. Yeah.
Anything that was contrary to God, they dealt with it.
Yes. Yes.
We have to do the same thing now.
We do, and we can't let anything stop us. I know there's a lot of pastors who rely on denominations for their financial backing. I know there's a lot of ministers who rely, and they have to abide by their certain rules and say only things of the Bible that they want them to say to keep that backing. Well, I'm here to tell you, God's about to test your faith. He wants you to be obedient to him. And the things that he wants you to do will not align to the denominations. If God tells you to step away, which he will, be obedient and trust God. God's not going to tell you to do something and he not provide for you. But if that denomination especially is choking your word because they said if you're saying certain things, that you're not going to get funding, that's the trap of the enemy to try to control what God wants you to say. Release yourself from that. And ask God, and when God releases you from it, have faith that he'll provide. Speak what God wants you to speak. Don't ever let man stop what God wants to be said. Be obedient, and God will bless you.
Amen. And that's fact.
Yes.
That's fact. God fulfills his word.
He does.
He fulfills
his
word. And he's going to continue to fulfill it because, as we keep saying, God does not change. Men change. God doesn't.
He doesn't.
And that's just it. And praise the Lord. Now, we got about 6 minutes left. Does anyone out there have a question? And if not, we're gonna go a different way, because we only have a few minutes left. The program was outstanding. I'm truly blessed, and I believe everyone out there has been blessed. Pastor Williams, I'm gonna give you this time to conclude it and close us out. But you've really been a blessing. And your book has been a blessing. I thank God for you, and I'm trusting God I know that God is going to continue to bless you and magnify your giftings and magnify your anointings and magnify what you're doing in Jesus' name. And I speak that over your life, and I know and believe that it is coming to pass. So you can conclude and close us out in prayer.
Amen. God, I just thank God for this opportunity and for the unity already. One thing that we have to do, saints, is that God is calling for correction in his church. God is calling for us to unify. It's time for us to unify. It's time for us to get rid of our silly traditions and accept Christ and accept his word. Get rid of the denominations. Get rid of the different beliefs. Become one. It's time for us to unite. And right now, the days ahead are about to get dark, but I want you all to know it's time to get in God. The ones who know God, get in your prayer closets. If you're backslidden, let's repent to God, and let's do what God wants us to do. And for the ones who know Christ, very shortly, I want you to repeat after me again. I don't know if you heard it already, but we're going to repeat it one more time. Because God says if you confess with your mouth and believe your heart
that he's the Lord's Savior. He rose for your sins, and you are saved. We have to make sure that you confess with your mouth. If you're ready to receive God right now, you're ready to be able to allow God to use you mightily, well, it's time to receive the Lord. Just repeat after me. Lord God, we love you. We thank you. Accept me in your kingdom, Father God. I love you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Forgive me, Father, for my sins I've done in the past. I repent, Lord. I turn from my ways. I accept you now. Lord God, I love you, and I thank you for accepting me in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. You have just been saved. And that's the thing, the most important thing that you can do is make God the head of your life, is allow God to infiltrate himself in you and allow him to speak to you through his Bible and speak to him through your word. Continue to pray. Surround yourself with people who are constantly praying. And saints, constantly surround yourself with people who are speaking life. Death speakers have to be removed. And the people around you speaking death, remove themselves. Because now is the time to create the Holy, is to call out to God and allow the Holy Spirit to come. We have to continue to let our helper, what Jesus sent, the Holy Spirit, to come into our atmosphere to help us. Because in the days ahead, the Holy Spirit is going to be the only guidance that we have. But it has to be that we spend time with God and call on his name and allow us to fall on our face and allow the atmosphere to change through worship and praise and prayer, that he comes in our atmosphere and changes it. So right now, y'all, get in your face. Allow God, after this blog talk radio is over, get in your face in your prayer closet. Pray to God. Spend time with him. Read your word. And allow God to speak through you. Allow God to speak to you. Allow God to show you things that we've been talking about in this radio broadcast. God's going to reveal it to you. He's going to reveal it to you in the spirit. You can only see it in the spirit. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but spirits and principalities. God is ready to reveal some things in the spirit to the ones who are ready to see it. And the thing is, when you do that, God's going to reveal to you who you are, what you're called to do. He might not reveal it all tonight. But when you spend time with him, he'll begin to show you who you are. And in due season, you'll be able to manifest that. And he'll prepare you and mature you. So right now, do that after we get off this air and be able to spend time with your Father. If it's your first time being saved, read your scripture. Be able to, if you don't know where to start, I'll ask that you start in Matthew. Read from first chapter of Matthew and continue to read about our Lord and Savior. And then get on your knees and pray. Because now is the time for all of us, pastors and leaders, if you're listening, it's time for us to repent. After this, repent, get on your knees and repent to God that we continue to go on the right path. Pray for your brethren that we all unite, and the ones that have ego and that are thinking they're above God right now, that they humble themselves. We don't want God to humble them. We want them to humble themselves because we know what happens when God humbles us. But we want them to humble themselves. We pray for them now. And the ones who've already fallen, pray for them. They love them. We have to love our brethren. Galatians tells us that when our brethren fall, we have to upgird them. So we have to constantly pray for them, and we have to also upgird them. Yes. And we have to also be in guidance and be in prayer, intercessory prayer, to make sure that no attack of the enemy can prosper. So it's time for the intercessory prayers to go up and to pray for the saints of the Lord. It's wartime, y'all, but the war is already won. We have to know that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to say that the Kingdom of God Ministries, we're having our service at 9550 Bellsford Road, Canton, Georgia, 30114.
Amen.
At 11 a.m. Sunday, this Sunday at 11 a.m. at 9550 Bells Ferry Road in Canton, Georgia. That we'll be having our services at that time. I just want to put that out there if anyone would desire to come by. 9550 Bells Ferry Road, Canton, Georgia, 11 a.m. Sunday. And we thank the Lord for all of you all that listen in, and I pray that you all got some revelation. I know you got blessed, and this is ending our program. If you desire to call after the show, you can, but we got to close it out on tonight. I thank you all for listening, and be blessed.
Amen.
Amen.